Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of Epiphany, and depending on your background, you may not know anything about Epiphany. It's the time between Advent and Lent. And I just realized, do y'all know Ash Wednesday is the start of Lent, and this year Ash Wednesday is on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So, hey, we're going to have an Ashes service in here, I'm sure, and bring your Valentines. But Epiphany, the word Epiphany means to reveal, to discover. And it's about a period after we have looked at Jesus' birth and the incarnation and Emmanuel, God with us, and trying to understand what that means for us and how we find God, how we see God, how God is revealed to us in our lives. And in my experience, feeling God is in your life and seeing God in your life has a lot to do with how your life is going. And if your life is just clicking along and you're happy and things are going great, it's easy to see God everywhere. But if it's not that, and to me those are rare times, it's harder to see God in your life. It's harder to believe God is with you. And especially if you're in a really dark place, if you are in grief, if you are in a depression, if there's something like a sickness or a diagnosis that you've received that is upsetting or life-threatening, if there's dissension, you know, you name it. I mean, we all have these things. And that is when it's harder. And what I'm really excited about today is that there really is a spiritual principle in these scriptures to help you find God and discover God's presence in hard times, in bad times, in dark times. And it's in these two scriptures here, and I love them both. And they're, of course, you know, I'm doing the lectionary. These are assigned. I didn't pick them out. But they're really, really good. And the place I want to start is with the story of a friend of mine named Ed. In seminary, Ed and Francis, they were another couple. Like, Annette and I were the young couple when we got to seminary. We were 24 and 22. And when Greek school started. And that was, everybody thought we were really young. And looking back on it, we were. But Ed and Francis were a little bit older. It's hard to say. They probably were in their late 20s, so they were old. And but we became friends with them, and Ed and I suffered through Greek school together. And he was such an unusual person. Francis was beautiful and smart, and she most seminary wives, or spouses, husbands too, would find a job in Atlanta that they could work while their spouse went through seminary. And so Francis was working in a business and a really good job. Ed was a musician. He played multiple instruments. He played saxophone. He played piano really well. But the thing that just blew me away about Ed was he came to seminary from the Metropolitan Opera. He sang in the Met in New York. He was a baritone. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're just, you know, at singing the doxology at lunchtime, you know, and you hear this, hey, God, what is that? And it was Ed, and he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. And so during that first year of seminary, they had a men's quartet. We would go to churches, and I sang in it. Ed really carried it, okay? We all were just kind of like, you sing louder than us, okay? And so we went through that, and then we all went away for the summer, summer ministry, and he worked in a small church in Georgia, in, you know, country Georgia. And then we all came back in the fall of the second year. And at that point, his wife, Frances, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And this blew him away. It devastated. She was okay with it, you know, faith-wise. But Ed completely lost his faith, by his own admission, lost his faith in God. And I remember Annette and I went and saw him in Emory right before she was going to have a biopsy. And depending on the biopsy, they would just continue with whatever they thought needed to happen. And I walked down the hall with Ed. And he goes, "Jim, I'm really ashamed of this, but I don't believe in God now. You know, as long as things were going good, I believed in God, but I don't see God's hand within a mile of this. I don't think, you know, how am I going to be a pastor if I don't believe in God? And I don't believe God is real. I don't believe God is powerful. And you know me, I'm not good at pastoral care. So I just try not to say something terrible. And I put my arm around and I said, "Well, let's pray." My pastoral care technique is just hug and don't talk much. Because the more I talk, the more it's likely I'm going to say something terrible. So I prayed with him that he would find faith in this. And I'm going to stop the story right now. I will come back to it. Okay, I promise. I'll come back to it at the end of the sermon. But I want you to kind of understand that that happens, and that may have happened to you, that your faith was going along pretty good until something like that terrible event happened. In finance, they call it black swan event, but it's just a terrible life thing or something really, really hard and really dark. Now, I want to say, if that hasn't happened to you, good times can also get in the way of your relationship with God, because good times, you start to feel like you don't need God, and you start to say, "Hey, I got this. This is great." So it's not just that bad times get in the way, but good times do too. And so how do we get it back is the question. How do we find God? How do we see God in the stuff that we're dealing with today? And whether you feel broken or lonely, or if you feel deep, deep darkness, how do we find God in this? How do we find it? So I want to look at Nathaniel first. And see what happened to Nathaniel. It's such an interesting story. Jesus finds this guy, Philip, and says, "Follow me." And then Philip found Nathaniel and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathaniel had no faith in Jesus at that point, because you know, you remember what he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Like, this can't be the Son of God. It came from Nazareth, you know? And then Philip says, "Well, come and see." And so that is when the story starts to unfold. And as they walk up, Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." I always think that's the funniest thing, because he goes, "Behold, there's this an Israelite with no guile." And Nathaniel goes, "Oh, how'd you know me?" You know, it's like saying, "Wow, the world's most interesting man. Oh, yeah, how'd you know me?" You know, "Yeah, of course, I am that." Now, I want to say, there are other things in Nathaniel's life that Jesus could have pointed out, probably. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus could have said, "Ah, here's a guy who, you know, has cheated in business," or whatever. I don't know anything. But Jesus chose to say this good thing about him. And his response was actually, "Where did you get to know me?" And that is what we say in our despair and in our darkness. It's like, "God, where did you get to know me? Didn't you?" Ed was saying that. Maybe this whole thing is a fantasy of God being real, God, you know, loving me and Francis. Where, God, where did this happen in my life? And what Nathaniel says is very close to that. Where did you get to know me? And Jesus says, this is verse 48. He says, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. I saw you. Now, in our hard times, in our dark times, in our times of hopelessness, in our times of despair, it's really hard to believe that God sees us, right? That God sees us. Just we see us, and we feel totally alone, and like nobody gets it how bad this is right now. We feel totally isolated, and we do not get that God sees us. Ed did not get that God was there with him and saw him. You know, and so where is God when you get a cancer diagnosis? Where is God when you fall flat on your face, when you embarrass yourself in front of other people? Any, pick it, whatever it is with you. Where is God in that? And do you believe that God sees you today in this, that God sees you in this? Do you believe that? Maybe the answer is yes. I don't want to make sure it's not, but it could be. When you are feeling lonely, empty, broken, and dark, do you believe, can you know that God sees you in this? And one of the things that makes it, I love this Psalm 139. You know, I don't do Old Testament lessons very often, but I had to do this one today. Because the psalmist is looking back at his life and saying, wow, look at how God, you were there for me. He says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That is what is saying about who God is, that God knows you that well, sees you that well. And he says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. That's like good times, man. If I have really, really, really good times, you're there. You're in it. If I make my bed in hell, we can relate to that, you're there. You were there with me in that hell. The word they use is Sheol, but it's hell. And he's saying, he's looking back at his life going, wow, in my life that has happened. It's amazing. And that happened to this Nathaniel too. Nathaniel starts out in unbelief, right? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He's not believing Philip at all. And then Jesus changes him when he says, he ends up saying, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. And so what made him believe? What made him believe is when he looked back at what happened before. And Jesus said, I knew you before Philip even talked to you about me. And he went, wow, he was there back then. That's where he went from unbelief to belief, when he recognized what had happened in his past, how God had been with him in his past. And that is the principle I want you to hang on to today. Whatever you're dealing with and having a hard time finding God in there, one way of getting that understanding of God's being with you is to look backwards. Look back at your life and look at when God had seen you, when you knew it, when you knew God had seen you. Go back there. Go back there and say, ah, that's where it was. Because God has known you too. And Nathaniel, when he was under the fig tree and Jesus saw him there, he was unaware of it. Like, if any of y'all got these Ring doorbells, it's really funny to see people coming into your doorbell and they don't know you're there. We got one in our house, and sometimes when Ezra and Mindy come up there, and we may be somewhere else, we can talk to them. Like, we're in the mountains, and they come up to the door, we go, hey, Ezra. It would make me jump out of my skin if that happened to me. But You're not even aware that anybody's watching. And the same thing is true. Nathanael was not aware that Jesus saw him. And you and I are not aware so many times that God sees us. So many times God sees us and we're oblivious to it. As if like we're walking up to that ring doorbell. But God has always known you, has always seen you all your life. Just like Nathanael looked back, just like the psalmist looked back and said, look at what happened in my life. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Like you're trying to flee. You're trying to leave God's presence, and you can't. God just keeps on after you. God knew you when you were being born in the inward parts of your mother's womb. God knew you then. God knows all these things about you. We're not capable or comfortable sharing all the details of our lives with each other. We have kind of a sweet spot where we're willing to talk about things. I sometimes overshare. I'm sorry, but I don't. Yeah, after church with Jimmy, shouldn't have said that one. But we have a limit. We have a lower limit, and we know the stuff below that, and we don't share it with each other, and we think that part makes us feel kind of lonely because we're the only ones who know that. But God knows it. God is there. God sees it. God's with us in it. God has known us since we were born. And the way to get that is if you are feeling like God has not revealed himself to you, that you need to discover God again, the technique is to do what Nathanael, look back at when God knew, when you go, oh, I remember God being with me there. Look at what happened, how I didn't get in that car wreck, how I didn't get bitten by that dog, how my life could have gone differently. And God was there. God was there with me. And God sees you today, too. So I want to get back to Ed. Francis went into that biopsy. Basically, they just did it was cancer, but it was very confined, and they did a lumpectomy. And she came out of that, and they are both fine now. Ed's on a seminary email kind of circle that we do, and he's living in Tallahassee. He and Francis are living in Tallahassee today. And I remember right after that, he and I talked about it, and he was embarrassed that he had lost his faith so easily in that moment. And he said, you know, I'd been a minister in a church, you know, my summer ministry. I preached four, you know, when you're a student intern, you preach four times. People are supposed to critique you. They don't want to be the reason you didn't serve God, so they give you really nice critiques. And they're not very accurate. But Ed was in that church, and he ministered to people and all that, and still after that, he felt totally desolate, felt without faith. And he said, I'm embarrassed by that. He says, now that I look back on that, I realize God was with me the whole time. God was with us in that hospital room at Emory Hospital. God was with us, and I didn't see it because I can't go anywhere without him. So I wrote Ed a song, and he sang it a lot, and it was so good. And I'm gonna do it. I can't sing it like Ed, but let me trip over here to this other microphone, and I'll tell you a little more about it. So for you at home, I'm at the piano now. And So I wrote this sort of based on what Ed told me. And then I, in fear and trembling, played it for him one day at seminary in the cafeteria. They had a piano there. And he loved it. And then he and I started doing it. I'd play piano. He would sing it with his wonderful voice. I don't have the wonderful voice, but I'm going to sing it anyway. And maybe it will be a song where you can look back on your life and realize that God is with you now because God has been with you in the past. It's called Thou Hast Been a Shield. Thou hast been a shield unto me. Thou hast been a rock for my feet. Still the storm and calm the sea. Thou hast been a shield to me. Even when I doubted your care, your strong arms surrounded me there. Joy for sorrow, hope for despair, thou hast been a shield to me. Whither shall I flee from thy care? Even darkness is as light to thee. Though I try to hide in the depths of the sea, Let's pray together. Lord, so many times we lose track of you. We don't see you. We feel abandoned and hopeless. Help us, Lord, to see that you're with us always. When we're really, really going good. And also when we're really, really not going good. Help us to see you seeing us. Loving us, protecting us, being our shield, being our rock. Even when we doubt your care, your arms surround us there. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now,